Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Going to tell you who I think the most important free agent is in the NBA in just a second. Still have a few people who want to weigh in on the Masai Ujiri situation, though. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. David in California. David, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Robin, thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, I just wanted to weigh in two things I agree with you on. Nobody should be putting hands on anybody. And second of all, I don't condone violence in any way. But I do think the sheriffs should not pursue this any further. But I do believe that the NBA should hand out the same punishment for him as they did for the Warriors executive.
Well, the same punishment for him would mean a year ban. I don't think they should do that. The circumstances are different. I understand it's more analogous than, some random encounter on the street. But the circumstances are different in the sense of, you know, the dude in the front row had no business. I mean, nobody has any business, you know, like you just said, like I've said, putting their hands on others. But really, Extra had no business with Kyle Lowry. He just shoved him for no reason. And he's a fan. He's a fan. I know he gets referred to as an owner. He's not an owner. He's an investor. You know, he has shares in the team. He's not like one of the controlling owners of the team. He just shoved Kyle Lowry for no reason. And I thought that was actually dealt with fairly appropriately. As far as this goes, you know, there's a difference in that Masai Ujiri is the president of the Toronto Raptors trying to go celebrate the championship with them. He's not some random person. At the same time, I would prefer the NBA deal with it than law enforcement. So if the contact warrants a fine, if they find out that it warrants a fine, I'd be okay with a fine. But I don't think there should be any legal avenues pursued. And again, we really don't know the extent of this, you know? From what the descriptions say, it was the officer physically restrained Ujiri. Ujiri tried to shove him off, I guess, so he could get to where he wanted to go, and the back and forth happened from that point on. Ultimately, if I were in charge and it is as has been described and there's not more to be found out, I would prefer the two had just talked it out and moved on, and that was the end of the story. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's R-O-B-I-N-L-U-N-D-B-E-R-G. All right. NBA free agency, right? You got your free agent bingo card. Everybody got their NBA free agent bingo card out. It feels like this year, a few things seem a little bit more set in stone going in than normal. You know, Klay Thompson's dad said that Klay will be back with the Warriors. So that's basically, I think you can pencil in Klay Thompson back with the Warriors, right? It sucks that he has the ACL injury, but I think we can pencil in Klay Thompson back with the Warriors. I think at this point you could pencil in Kyrie Irving to the Brooklyn Nets. You know, the way that's being reported doesn't really feel as much like rumor and speculation as foreshadowing. You know, you see the way it's phrased, the way the reports have phrased. You had Woj saying Kyrie is laser-focused or focused on Brooklyn or whatever. The Boston Herald reported that Kyrie intends to sign with the Brooklyn Nets. Just the way it's been out there, it feels more like a foregone conclusion that Kyrie's going to be in Brooklyn, and that he's already made that decision, and that the Nets are, you know, you see that Nets trade, that the Nets are operating as if they know that Kyrie's coming, and they're using that to leverage other moves. And it wouldn't surprise me either. You know, Kyrie's a different sort of cat, right? For any of his flaws, doesn't he kind of strike you as the kind of dude who would be like, I don't want to be caught up in all this. Don't mention my name in these rumors and all that. I'm going to make my decision now. And I think Kyrie, if he does go to Brooklyn, the two motivating factors there would probably be, one, personal happiness, which we all make decisions based on, and two, maybe a bit of a rebrand. You know, he wants to be in the New York area, it seems, and Brooklyn would give him a chance to rebrand because he's at the maybe the lowest perception point he's been in his career, to the point where I almost think he's slightly underrated now. You know, there may have been a point in time he was slightly overrated. Now I think Kyrie might be slightly underrated, only because people talk about, like, they wouldn't want him. Well, come on. I mean, the guy's a super talent. Can he be the best player on a championship team? Probably not. But he can be the best player on the floor against anybody for spurts. He can get buckets with anybody. He's super dynamic. And if you can add Kyrie Irving, I hate talking about Kawhi and Kyrie at the same time because I almost wind up saying the other's name because they just come off the tongue so similarly. Any team that can add Kyrie should do it if they can. And, you know, it would be a big deal for Brooklyn if he chooses them because it would be a superstar free agent wanting to go to New York and choosing the Nets. But I think that's pretty much done. I think that's pretty much done. So I think Klay to the Warriors pretty much done. I think Kyrie to the Nets is pretty much done. And to a slightly less confident point, I think Anthony Davis to the Lakers is very likely going to happen. I mean, you look at the reports out there. You look at the odds. Have you seen the Vegas odds? I mean, the odds tell you. The bookmakers think Anthony Davis is going to wind up on the Lakers. And then, like, who else is going to trade? Who else has the trade package for Anthony Davis that can beat the Lakers? I mean, there might be a dark horse team out there, I suppose. You can never rule that out. That's happened before, a dark horse team emerging and making the trade. But I can't imagine it's going to be Boston still. I mean, Boston has to worry about Kyrie leaving. So if Kyrie leaves, then you can't mortgage everything you got in the original Nets trade to go after Anthony Davis when Rich Paul has gone on the record. Not like that, you know, like with Paul George, it was speculation that he wanted to go to L.A. With Kawhi, it's been speculation that he might not stay in Toronto. Their agent didn't come out and say it would be a one-year rental. If the Celtics, I mean, that's what Rich Paul said. If the Celtics trade for Anthony Davis, it'll be a one-year rental. He'll leave. Don't blame me when it happens. So I don't think if you're Boston, you can make that deal. So that kind of leaves the Lakers. And other than spite, I don't see the reason the Pelicans wouldn't deal with the Lakers. The Lakers can put together a pretty good trade package. That fourth pick in the draft kind of changed everything for them. So I think Anthony Davis winds up on LA. So that takes Klay Thompson, in this experiment, this thought experiment, that takes Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving, and Anthony Davis off the board. Obviously, Anthony Davis isn't a free agent, but he's a big part of the whole equation, right? Then you get your way to Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant. When it comes to next year, Kevin Durant isn't going to make much of an impact, unfortunately. I think that the chances that Durant stays in Golden State went up tremendously. But regardless, let's even say he still goes to New York or wherever. He's not playing next year. So it's not going to make an impact next year. The question with Durant is more, would you still offer him the same deal that you would have before? And I think most people have landed on yes, but you have to hesitate a bit. I mean, he will be 32 when he comes back, coming off an Achilles. There is reason to hesitate. You know, on a max deal fully healthy, Kevin Durant's underpaid. He's underpaid. But guys haven't exactly always come back the same from the Achilles. I think the best recent comp for Durant is Rudy Gay, who came back pretty good from his Achilles and has a similar, if you will, build to KD. Not the same, of course, but similar. So I think that's the best case scenario, and I of course hope the best for KD. But he's not going to make an impact on next season. Let's say Kawhi Leonard, you know, next. either stays in Toronto or goes to LA. If he stays in Toronto, that doesn't really change anything about next year. It keeps Toronto the same. If he goes to LA, maybe that could almost create another Toronto. So perhaps I'm underestimating the impact that could make. But I when it comes to the Clippers, I'm not quite sure they're on even where the Raptors level was this year. Because remember, the Raptors were winning 60 games before Kawhi got there. That was a very good team for many years. They just couldn't get past LeBron, and they needed the guy who could get those buckets in the clutch situations, and it wasn't DeRozan for them. So I it could be Kawhi that makes the most impact on next season, but I hesitate because I'm looking at basically Toronto and the Clippers. I actually think the free agent who could make the most impact on next season is Jimmy Butler. And here's why. One, he's a terrific player. I love Jimmy Butler. I'd take 5 Jimmy Butlers on my team whenever I get a chance. The guy competes. He plays the right way. Any problems people have seem to come from him being competitive. But he really could influence, I think, 3 teams to a heavy degree and change their contending status. One is Philadelphia. Jimmy Butler, remember, Philadelphia went to Game 7 with Toronto, and the ball bounced 4 times on the rim before it went in to beat them, or else that game's going to overtime. And the Sixers have a chance to maybe be where the Raptors are right now. Sixers have a really good roster, at the top at least. So if Jimmy Butler stays in Philadelphia, he was the guy that gave me faith in them in the playoffs, because he's the guy that wasn't afraid in the big spots. Then the Sixers are still major contenders next year. Let's say Jimmy Butler goes to the Lakers, which has been floated out there. And the Lakers wind up over the summer with Anthony Davis and Jimmy Butler. I think that makes them the odds-on favorites to then win the title. If LeBron's ever going to get another one, it's going to be next year. If Jimmy goes to L.A., that's a big deal. And then the other places is maybe Brooklyn. You know, if Brooklyn winds up with, you're talking about whether Kyrie can be the best player on a championship team. Well, if he's co-best players with Jimmy Butler, there's a chance, right? I mean, maybe that's not definitively a championship team, but it's a damn good one. If the Nets wind up with Kyrie and Jimmy after this summer. So I actually think Jimmy Butler is the free agent who could have the most impact on next season, given where we already know where some of the other guys are going to wind up, given that Durant is unfortunately out of commission, and given that Kawhi seems to either going to be staying or going to just the Clippers. I think Jimmy Butler's impact could be greater next year because it could change the fortunes of the Sixers. It could change the fortunes of the Lakers. It could change the fortune of the Nets. Maybe I'm missing a team, you know, that's in the pursuit. I think his decision might have the most ripple effects. What do you think? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
He forgot to say good dude, and a good dude. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Jimmy Butler, the most important free agent perhaps for next season in my mind. What say you, Arizona Jay in Alabama? You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
My man, what's up, Robin?
What's good?
Man, I think one team you're forgetting is what is Milwaukee going to do in this trade, in this off-season trade and everything, because they probably need one more person. I heard talk about Bradley Beal myself like a long time ago. I mean, and really I hope Kawhi stays in Toronto and Toronto gets one more piece to, you know, solidify that team for next year. But I really hope everybody stay where they're going and they spread out the talent around the league, instead of just having the Warriors, you know, doing their thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see that. I think this league was like finals was a bit of a league reset. The teams that have a chance to get multiple stars, I think, are LA and Brooklyn, And then the Warriors maintaining multiple stars. But I do think you'll see the NBA more wide open than it's been in a long time. I really like the Milwaukee point you raise in the sense of they really could use a guard, I think, who can create. Now, I don't believe Milwaukee has the cap situation to go out and sign somebody, so it would have to happen creatively for them. But I think that's the piece that they're missing. They were an excellent team this year. But really, we're about a guard away, a guard who could create for himself. Because, you know, Malcolm Brogdon is a nice player. He's a, you know, 3-and-D kind of guard at the point guard spot. And George Hill, same deal, was good for them. Eric Bledsoe is athletic and can be disruptor defensively, but can't really shoot. Doesn't finish that well either. I think they need... They need the guy who can create buckets on the perimeter. They need Giannis to take the step forward himself. You know, Giannis is tremendous, but we saw in the playoffs where his flaws still remain, and that's in getting his own shot. So he needs to improve on that. And then I think from a roster standpoint, they could really use a guard. I mean, Bradley Beal would be amazing, but they could really use a guard of that ilk, of that caliber, who is able to get his own, because that's not something that they had, and I think it's something that Bucks roster was missing. I also hope Kawhi stays in Toronto. He's given that team an identity. I think it's been a perfect fit for who he is as a player and as a personality. So I would like to also see Kawhi stay in Toronto next year. It does feel like with him it's between the Raptors and the Clippers. I'd be surprised if another team emerges in the mix there for Kawhi Leonard. But we'll see. I mean, one of the things about this summer is so many of the guys are hard to predict because they're unique. Everybody's a unique personality, but they're especially the kind of hard guys to read this summer when you're talking about Kawhi and Kyrie and Jimmy and KD. You know, they're the kind of guys who make decisions for different reasons or might change their mind and the like. How about Simon in Dallas? Simon, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Simon?
Hey, what's up, Robin? What's up, bro?
How are you, man?
I love the show. Hanging in there, man. I was wanting to see what you thought about my Mavericks, man. What you think they're going to do in the free agency, because, you know, they got money to spend, and if we can put somebody with Luka and Porzingis, you know, maybe we'll be able to do a little something. I mean, of course, we ain't going to win that, but at least better than what we have been the past couple years.
Well, look, if everything works out well with Porzingis, I think he's had a strange offseason. And maybe the kind of offseason that makes you go, all right, do I rethink my opinion of him a little bit? But he also, if you look at each incident in isolation, you can definitely explain them as unfortunate circumstances as well. Porzingis is a talent, and he's been out of sight, out of mind. I think when you're building around Porzingis and Luka Doncic, you're already off to a good start. So I bet you Dallas targets like Julius Randle, that level kind of player. And those are the kind of moves they make. But I think that the biggest key for the Mavericks next year is Kristaps Porzingis and how he returns to the court. Because if he returns to the court 100% healthy, they got the kind of guy who showed franchise player potential in New York. You know, Porzingis playing as your big man is the kind of guy who has a chance to be one of the better players in the league. And he's also a big injury risk. I mean, I think anytime you see somebody at that height, you worry just in general. And then when you see somebody at that height actually have a big injury, you worry even more. So I think Porzingis is a wild card. But if Porzingis works out well, then the Mavericks are extremely well-positioned going forward because they'll have Luka and they'll have KP, and anything they add to that mix is basically gravy at this point. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Okay, I waited a while to do this, but I'm going to do it now. I'm going to push the OJ button. It's pushed. OJ Simpson. This week was the 25th anniversary, I believe, of all the OJ I don't even know how to phrase it in one word, one sentence. The murders, let's be blunt.
Bronco Chase?
That too. I mean, those were related. It's been 25 years since the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. So there was some coverage of the 25th anniversary I saw this week. And I saw people also wonder, why is this still such a big deal? Because there are a lot of people, to be honest, who don't really know O.J. the football player now. I mean, he's old enough, and that was long enough ago. I mean, it's not like I had heard of O.J. the football player, but I knew O.J. from the Naked Gun and car commercials and stuff when I was growing up, not really from football. Most people know O.J. from the murder trial and the Bronco chase. And I saw people wonder, hey, why has O.J. Simpson enamored people for so long? And I think the true answer to that is his case checked off two boxes of things that just seem to generate American interest. One is crime drama, right? Like, how many successful crime dramas have there been in television history? There's been a million. And the other is racial tension that the O.J. case brought to the forefront when it happened, it happening around the same time as Rodney King and the like. So I think that's the answer to why it maybe stood the test of time from a public interest standpoint. And not only is it the 25th year anniversary of those murders, but sure enough, apparently O.J. Simpson decided to join Twitter last night, and he posted a video saying that he has more tweets to come. The suspense is, I won't say it. The suspense is what's it doing to me? It's, the suspense is, I'll think about it. But the suspense is not doing what I would normally say it's doing to me in light of O.J. Simpson being the person causing said suspense.
How about palpable?
The suspense is palpable. Thank you, Chris. The suspense is palpable for O.J. Simpson's next tweet. Here's the question I want to ask you. Do you still care about O.J. Simpson? Do you care about him? Does he matter to you? Is he still this needle mover? Because he seems to be. He joined Twitter and it was a big deal. 25 years since he probably killed two people. And it's still a big deal. Does O.J. Simpson still matter to you?
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I have a confession to make. I followed O.J. Simpson on Twitter. I must confess. I thought about it for a second. I was like, wait a second. You know, this guy is a double murderer and all that. Should I, you know, really click this button? But, you know, I follow some other people I don't like. I'm not going to miss the train wreck, as everyone else is going to be involved. So I did follow O.J. Simpson, and perhaps I'm part of the problem because I'm giving him the attention that he wants. I mean, clearly the guy wants, some attention. He was in the limelight for a long time and, probably yearns for that now. Now, his story is one of the most well-known there is, going from NFL star to actor, if you will, to convict. You know, that it left an impression on the culture that's lasted. I mean, before he even went on Twitter, there I saw a lot of stuff about the 25th anniversary of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. And again, I think the reasons that has stuck with people is, I guess it's three. People absorb information better in threes. One, O.J. was a celebrity, right? We have a celebrity worship thing going on in this country. Two, it was a crime drama. People love crime dramas. They're all over the place. Law and Order SUV or whatever it's called. You know, they're all over the place. People love crime dramas. And three, racial tension. I mean, O.J. Simpson happened at a time. I mean, it's still a thing, and, you know, racial tension is still a hot button topic. And at that point in time, it certainly was with the Rodney King beating, and there was that factor in the trial itself and the way the defense really effectively argued in getting O.J. off for a crime he almost certainly committed, right? So those aspects. And then last night he decides he's going to join Twitter because, you know, probably an egomaniac, not probably, it seems like an egomaniac, right? And craving that. So I'm just curious whether people still care about O.J. Simpson. Do you still care about O.J. Simpson? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Miles in Tuscaloosa. Miles, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, how you doing?
What's up, Miles?
Not a lot. Couple things. I called in to say no, he's not relevant to me. I think the only reason that you're talking about him or anyone's talking about him was two things. The recent release from prison, parole, and leading up to that, the miniseries, the documentaries and all, and it brought it back to everyone's attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I think him signing up for Twitter or any kind of social media speaks volumes to the kind of person he is. You know, when you've done something like he's done and got off with it and then done all the terrible things that actually landed him in jail, wouldn't you want to say, okay, I've made it out. I'm just going to fade into the night. That's not enough for the
guy. Well, the irony is, Miles, the stuff that landed him in jail wasn't really terrible, right? I mean, it was bad, I guess, but I wouldn't describe it necessarily as, like, terrible. You know, terrible is reserved. Terrible is reserved for the double murder. You know, but the point I'm trying to make, Miles, is I think that's, you know, a function of how he ticks, right? He couldn't keep himself away, you know, because you would think if you got off with what he got off from, you would be on some island somewhere or never be heard from again. And yet he wound up trying to get his memorabilia back in a hotel room and then in jail subsequently. He can't keep away from it. He doesn't have the self-control, the self-awareness, you know, and there. Who knows why? Who knows if that's just the way he's always been? You know, not even just me wildly speculating. Dr. Bennett Amalu, who, of course, discovered CTE, has told me and many other outlets that he believes, or he would bet his medical license, that O.J. Simpson has CTE as well. So I don't know exactly what makes that guy tick. Clearly, his brain is not wired appropriately, or else he wouldn't have done the things he did, or he wouldn't be still seeking the approval he seems to be seeking now. Like he seems to be seeking that approval or be addicted to the limelight, where he wants to write a book about how he didn't do it, or if I had have done it, right? What was that book? Didn't he write a book like that where if how he would have done it if he did do it, or then he was hunting for the real killer and now he's on Twitter? I mean, obviously, the dude ain't right. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Anthony in Maryland. Anthony, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, just a couple of things. I think he's not relevant to me at all at this point. I think, as I was talking to the hostess guy, I think it's a black and white issue. Most black people think he didn't do it, or he is relevant.
I don't think you should speak for most. I don't think most black people think he didn't do it. I don't think that's true.
I believe that's what it is. I believe so.
No, I believe at the time of the trial, because of the treatment that black Americans have faced from law enforcement, there may have been, you know, almost a celebratory mood from groups, because it felt like a black person actually winning against the system versus having the system tear them down. But I don't think right now that black people in general believe that O.J. Simpson didn't do it. I think it's irresponsible to put that on an entire group of people. I think if you were to survey, most people believe that O.J. Simpson did it.
So you think is that fair? that, you know, hey, listen, you know, we could think that this guy did it, but, you know, he gets off on it. I mean, what's the relevance to that piece there? You know, I'm thinking like, hey, they didn't approve that he did it. And so to me, he didn't do it, but he's not relevant to me, period.
But Anthony, there's a huge difference between proving, you know, like this is something that gets, you know, misconstrued all the time. Because you are found not guilty does not mean you are found innocent.
Right. I agree with that. But you have to have some type of evidence to say, hey, this guy
did it. They had DNA evidence. I mean, they had about as good evidence as you possibly could have had.
What happened with that? Well, he didn't get convicted.
He didn't get convicted for a couple of reasons. One, partially because of poor police work, and partially because of the fact that there was, you know, enough out there where it was reasoned to at least have believe that there could be a setup based on racial aspects, and it was right in the midst of Rodney King and all that. And most importantly, I think, because of bungling prosecutors. I mean, if they didn't make him try to put on the stupid glove, you know, but I'm not here to relitigate OJ's trial. I think most people with some sense believe that he did it. The evidence is actually fairly overwhelming. When you're saying where's the evidence, it's fairly overwhelming. Of course, you're going to have some holdouts. My question is more, because I'm not going to sit here and argue about whether he committed this murder 25 years ago. It's more about his relevancy right now and whether people care about him. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Jerome in Charleston, South Carolina. Jerome, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, asking me is OJ guilty is like asking me is OJ an old man. Come on. There's no doubt about that, okay? The guy's hair is gray, white, you know, he's like 70-something years old. Of course he's guilty. You can't get any guiltier than him. You can't get any more arrogant than he is. He's got a Twitter account. But, hey, saying that about him, what about the guy they put in the White House who says, hey, I can shoot people and people will still vote for me? I find that a horrible thing to say. And look what they did. They put him in the White House, and now we got to deal with this guy who says, yeah, I take information from a foreign country if it can help me win an election. Sure, I do that. So, hey, look, I can't stand O.J. Simpson. I wish he would just go away. I wish he had gotten put in prison for a long time for what he did. Because to murder the mother of your children, and then some other son, someone's innocent son, who had nothing to do with Aziz, you can't get any worse than that, man. But, hey, that's the way our country is. You know, they say they'd rather 1,000 guilty men go free before an innocent one goes to prison. So, hey, if I was on that jury, he would have gone to jail. But, see, that's what happens when you get these slick lawyers who turn juries against, you know, the police, and then they lie, and he gets out, and he's got his life. But, hey, he's burning in hell inside. Because no one will ever accept him anymore as the lovable OJ anymore.
Well, that to me is the most interesting thing about it, Jerome. You know, and I agree with a lot of your points. Not necessarily all of them, but a lot of them. As far as OJ, he just seems to continue to seek approval, and that's what I find the most, I guess, from a psychological standpoint, interesting. You know, I guess because he was so loved for so long. And he was loved by everybody. Look, what did Jay-Z say on the last record? I'm not black, I'm OJ. Okay. You know, basically saying OJ Simpson didn't think he was viewed as a black man until, you know, he did something that made him viewed as a black man. And OJ had that universal love. He had that universal love and affection and approval. And he somehow thinks he's going to get that back after what happened, that's never coming back. And that's what I find. I mean, you use the word arrogant. That's probably pretty spot on, or delusional is maybe even more spot on. But that's probably the thing I find most interesting about him at this point, is that he still seems to be seeking that when that's never going to come. And what drives that? You know, is that a is that a dysfunctional personality? Is that brain damage? I'm not even joking. I mean, CTE is brain damage. Is that brain damage? Is that, you know, some other fact? Like, what drives that? Why would this man believe that he could still win approval and still be celebrated and loved after all that? Because that, I mean, why else is he creating a Twitter? Why else is he, you know, writing the books and all that? He seems to yearn for it, want that attention, want that spotlight. And that's what's at least psychologically curious to me, is how someone could still be seeking that and wanting that and expecting that after what's gone on with him. Daryl in Anchorage, Alaska, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing? This is a great topic in a sense. I'm a black man. I listen, without a doubt, and I'm going to say 95% of black people, OJ is guilty, okay? Without a doubt in my mind, he definitely did what he did. But this goes further than that. And the reason what I'm saying is the way the judicial system is set up, you know, the reason why he got off, and which I do believe is because of the jury. If it was a majority white jury, he would have been guilty. And what I'm saying, you already hit on it about the police brutality, and you know, black folks got one, you know, they got one home run out of it,
yeah,
basically out of the system, compared to the thousands and thousands of, you know, things they, you know, jury. They didn't get, you know, as far as police brutality and things like that.
Daryl, I'm sorry, I'm running out of time here against the break, but tell me if you agree with this. This is basically how I would sum up it. To me, it feels like, looking back on it, it was celebrating a victory amongst so many defeats, but it was the wrong victory to celebrate at that time. Like, it was like, you know, the system was finally beaten after the system had beaten down so many people. But of course, it wasn't the case to celebrate, because in this case, you were dealing with someone who killed two people. And that's why it's a complex thing. And I think that's one of the reasons it stood the test of time as a polarizing debate and topic, and still has you weighing in right now at 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.